This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and when you think about your first leadership experience, I think most of us would struggle to actually remember exactly what that experience was or when that was in our lives, as it may not be very significant. Some might also say that their first leadership experience was not exactly crucial in their leadership journey. But it could be argued that your first leadership experience is important. And if that is the case, how can we create these first leadership experiences for other people? Joining me today, because of course it is the first Monday of the month, is Connie Lee from Leaderonomics to talk all about that. So thank you very much for speaking to me today, Connie.
Thanks, Christine. Thanks for sharing a little bit on that. And I think the question you posed earlier is a really important one. Our first leadership experience is really that important. So we also want to have it based on facts as well. So at Leaderonomics, what we've done is we've interviewed quite a few leaders to really understand how the science of being leaders really applies to their leadership journey. And based on these interviews, some of the leaders agree that their early leadership experiences have allowed them to practice leadership in some form, and at the very least, build their confidence so that they can be successful at something bigger. So what they've said is that even though those early leadership experiences are not necessarily life-changing, but those experiences have become important foundational blocks to their leadership journey.
And I think also, you know, for a lot of people, that initial leadership experience, that first leadership experience, may be something that you're not even aware of at the time, actually a leadership experience. And, you know, I think if I were to think about it, I don't even know what my first leadership experience was, right? But at the same time, it must have been, you know, part of me growing into my leadership skills as well. So, you know, now that we've established that these are important, let's talk about creating these experiences for other people.
Yeah, definitely. So I think going back, if I can rewind a little bit, Christine,
sure,
is that you talked about not being very clear about when your first leadership experience was. I think people tend to have a very, I would say, glorified definition of, you know, when I talk about leadership experience, it means that, you know, I need to be leading something big or something official. But it can come down to something very basic and simple and sometimes easily forgotten. I think we can first talk about this phrase, you know, we talk about monkey see, monkey do, right? Mm-hmm. And this brings us to the first action of creating leadership experiences. There are three actions that we want to cover. The first one is observe. The second one is to practice. And the last one, which is also equally important, is actually on to reflect. Mm. So talk about monkey see, monkey do. It's a very common phrase we hear, especially when we see young children imitating their parents. You know, for example, holding up a TV recorder and trying to talk on the phone, exactly imitating their parents, right? Or perhaps they are doing a certain move that they've learned from TV. So a fun fact that I found is that according to the California Department of Education, toddlers at around the age of 8 months start to imitate simple actions and expressions of others during interactions. So when I found out about it, I was like, wow, I didn't know it started this early. So I got to be careful next time, you know, when I'm around young children. So as parents, I think this is the struggle, because for us to be perfect role models is never easy. So we have this tendency when we tell our children, do as I say, okay? Not as I do. So that serves as like a perfect caveat, just in case we don't practice what we preach. Just like maybe how we tell our children to make their beds, but we as parents fall short and we sometimes don't make our beds ourselves. So I was wondering, you know, Christine, you know, did you experience any of this? You know, your parents were telling you to do something, but later you found actually they're not really doing that.
I mean, my parents are great and I'm not going to throw them under the bus. But, you know, I think it's not just a parent thing or anything like that. I think as people, you know, you are, I think there's a little bit of a hypocrite in all of us, right? I think we've all had that moment in our lives where we've done or said something that we do not necessarily, you know, want others to to copy or to learn from. But also I find that so interesting, you know, the point that you made about how even, you know, around 8 months old, you are already starting to observe your surroundings and you are already starting to pick up on and repeat, you know, behaviors that are around you. And although I cannot share about my parents' perspective, for me personally, I know for a fact that in terms of observing what other people do and trying to adapt to that, I have some younger relatives of mine. I think children are way more observant than we give them credit for.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've noticed certain behaviors, certain phrases, even certain actions as well that they pick up from the adults around them. I also find it so interesting that observation is not actually a very active thing. Especially for children, it's just something that comes naturally as they're learning. But, you know, we always tell people to lead by example, right?
That's right. So I think what you've shared earlier, Christine, is I totally agree. It can be hard, you know, talking about, you know, being a bit of hypocrites ourselves, right? But I think parents need to really start viewing their homes as their child's first classroom.
Mm.
I think we tend to say, we just let the teachers teach them in classroom. Whatever we do, we're a bit more relaxed at home. But I think that's a bit dangerous, I would say, because to be honest, people in your home or anyone else who's taking care of your children, they are the first teachers that your children will ever have. And children are great imitators. So let's all give them something great to imitate. And one example I can give, for example, emotional intelligence, right? It's a key component of leadership. So how can you, in your homes, create a scenario that allows children to observe how you practice emotional intelligence? So as a start, you know, maybe you're in a traffic jam and you're rushing off to your child's doctor's appointment and you're very frustrated, right? I think this is a really good opportunity to teach them how you can find ways to calm yourself down. So this is the time where you can tell your child deliberately, you know, creating that platform to observe is that, you know, so-and-so, mommy is really frustrated right now. Can you help me calm down by taking 10 deep breaths with me? So what happens is that the child registers this action and say, okay, this is what mommy does when mommy is frustrated, when mommy's stressed out. She takes 10 deep breaths. And if you repeat this action often enough, the child would be equipped and it has this, you know, memory that whenever I'm feeling stressed, I know that I can do this action to calm myself down, right? And it helps them with coping with, you know, some emotional stress or trauma perhaps in the future, right? That's one example. It may seem very small, but if we can spell it out, call it out, you know, and really telling your child, you know, this is what I do.
Can you give me another example of how kids can imitate their parents, I suppose?
Yeah, I think the other example that I can give would be creative problem-solving skills. So speaking from experience, you know, when I was much younger, my dad's quite a handyman. And what he did was he fixed our leaking roof temporarily using a plastic sheet from recycled packaging. And that's not the only thing he tried to modify. He also modified, you know, those plastic trash cans, the really cute ones that you can find from, you know, Daiso, for example. He would want to have one in the car so, you know, kids at the back, we can throw our trash in without, you know, messing up his car. So he modified in such a way that allowed him to hang it, you know, so that it wouldn't topple over. And you know, all these observations, I would observe him while he was doing it. I would walk around and see what he would do. And that really opened my eyes to see that, wow, actually, solutions can be simple and can be something that is within my reach, you know, something from home. I don't have to really go all out, you know, and find an extravagant solution. And I think as a result of that, with imitating his way of creating problem solving, I've been able to bring that with me to my workplace as well as I solve challenges at work.
Now, obviously, these are really great tips for parents, but not everyone listening is a parent. I'm certainly not one. So let's bring this back a little bit to the workplace. How can we create opportunities for graduates or, you know, employees to apply these same principles and observe leadership experiences in the workplace?
So I think as we grow older, you know, as we enter adulthood, you don't need to be spoon-fed or to be prompted and say, hey, look here, it's time to observe. You know, I think when you come to an age of maturity, observation should become a self-initiated action. And that should be driven by your curiosity to learn, curiosity to improve. And for example, when I first entered into the workplace as a very fresh graduate, and it was daunting, you know, I felt lost, didn't know what to do, what to expect. So that first year of employment was really a year of observation. And I think this is the message I would say, I would give to all the young folks out there who have just started working, you know, take your first few years as years of observation and observe how people, how your colleagues interact with one another, how they interact with their bosses, and really learn and observe how good leaders are able to motivate their teams, even in stressful situations. So I think those years, while observing, you know, the key behind it is that I wanted to learn from other people's mistakes. I didn't want to repeat them myself. So I'm always thinking, okay, the way that this leader has done it may not have turned out as perfect as we all hoped for. So if it were me, how can I do it differently? So that's where observation should kick in, that you don't just live in your own bubble, for example. Try and observe how different bosses react differently. That brings me to my next point, for example, like different stakeholders process information differently. And Christine, you may have some experience as well within, you know, your organization. You may have stakeholders or bosses who prefer, you know, very succinct data. You know, don't give me all the fluff. I just need numbers and stats in a written report. You don't even need to see me face to face. Yeah. But some of us may have managers who prefer to be engaged personally, you know, let's talk about it face to face, you know, and sometimes to bring that message across, there needs to be some form of storytelling involved. Why is this important? How did this come about, you know? And those are things that I've learned through observation. And it's like, wow, I said, okay, now that I've observed this, I need to be very mindful that whenever I present something to get an approval, you know, get some buy-in, I need to first understand what is their style of processing information.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break, but after that, I will continue speaking to Connie Lee from Leaderonomics about creating first leadership experiences for other people. We'll be right back. This is BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me is Connie Lee from Leaderonomics. Today, we are talking about creating first leadership experiences for other people. And before the break, we talked about the first step in doing that, which is observation. And it's not just about people observing leadership experiences, but also, you know, what exactly in that observation you're trying to look for. And Connie made a good point about how you should be observing to learn from other people's mistakes. Now let's move on to the next step, which is to practice.
Yes. So we've covered observation. Now we're moving on to practice. So that is the one thing that I feel is crucial in any experience we have. You know, it cannot just be something that you've observed in your head, but it's something that needs to be acted out, you know, maybe using your hands or mouth, you know, acted out, you know, so that you can practice, right? And what we should see is that, you know, when you start to practice, your learning will transition from just knowing in the head, but now is transitioning to growing, right? So fun fact, I've attempted to plant, you know, basil from their seeds during MCO. You know, we all find ways to keep ourselves occupied. And I, in some ways, I find that it ties back to leadership experiences. So just like how a seed needs to absorb sufficient nutrients, water and sunlight before it can start sprouting, our young leaders will also need enough opportunities to observe. So we've talked about the observation part. So yes, now your seed has enough nutrients, water and sunlight. So now moving on to the next part. You know, even if the seed is given all the nutrients, right, sunlight and water, if the seed chooses not to sprout, right, and not to be exposed to the harsh conditions out there, it will forever remain as a seed. So this is an analogy that I would like to apply to leaders as well. If you have just stayed at a stage of observation, you know, you're just learning, it's all in your head. But if you don't choose to step out of your comfort zone and to try it out, then you would not have the chance to try out what it means to become a leader.
Yeah. I think, you know, talking about that and talking about, I guess, how the environment of the seed or the person can really allow them to practice this leadership skills as well. I think one big misconception about environment is that people tend to assume it's like, oh, you've got to have like bean bags and a pool table. And, you know, that's all that environment is. And actually, you know, it is also the culture. It's also, you know, the behaviors of the people in the office. It's the way that you communicate with each other. And I think a very integral part of that is also, you know, some leadership experiences are best put into practice with some encouragement.
Yes, yes, that's right. So when we talk about encouragement, so one setting that we can do is, for example, you may ask your child to coordinate a family games night, right? It's
right.
Something small, but it allows them a space to practice, right? And talking about encouragement, what kind of encouragement you can give, for example, I'm assuming I'm a parent here, and I will say, you know, Christine, I'm extremely proud of you that you introduced a new game and you got everyone to participate for game night today. So this is something small, right? Just getting everyone to come and just to play is something small, but your words of encouragement plays a very big part because it gives them that booster and say that, wow, I can do this, even though it's small, maybe I can do something bigger.
Yeah. And also I think, you know, imagine getting criticized if you are, you know, if you're attempting for the first time to practice leadership and then you get shot down. I imagine it must be kind of traumatic in a way.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I think we can also talk about the sandwich model when we're giving feedback, you know.
Okay.
You know, the sandwich, the bread is always talk about something good that you've observed, right? And then your patty in the middle, you can talk about the areas of improvement. And you must always end with a break, you know, for your sandwich. You must end with something good. So you sort of sandwich your I wouldn't say criticism, but feedback, you know, squash in between both. So at least you end on a good note, right?
Right.
So that's one way we can all do that as well.
I see. So, okay, yeah. So you've got that family game night sort of idea for children. But what about the workplace? How can we create this conducive environment in the workplace?
So for workplaces, I think a tip that I would like to share with managers is start with something small. It gives you less of a heart attack, that's one. And let's see if there is a possibility of it failing, you know, it doesn't bring too much harm to the company or organization as a whole. So one way we can all do that is, for example, TikTok, right? It's a platform right now that our target audience is youth, for example. We are in the youth development work. And what we've done is I've asked my intern to say, okay, now your role is to be the director of our first ever TikTok video while involving the bosses, you know, my co-founders, Roshan and Hui Min. And for them, it may be I need to coordinate with Roshan and Hui Min because technically, you know, they are the big bosses.
Right.
But we let them learn and it's a safe environment, right? It's within the company. I'm not letting them to face clients yet. It's still safe. So when the output is given out, again, encouragement part comes in. You know, we need to emphasize that, wow, this is a great job for getting the bosses involved, getting it done within the timeline. And to celebrate with them those small wins. So I think these are small ways that we can start off with something that does not jeopardize the organization, but you're willing to let go and let people try.
So it's an opportunity that comes with some structure and some sort of guidance, but you do let them sort of take the reins and shape what that project is for themselves as well.
Yes, yes. So giving them clarity, of course, is important. You don't want to just drop them into the ocean without giving them any life vest, you know, and let them figure out on their own. So being able to assign them, we call them buddies or mentors, you know, to guide them to a certain project, giving them very clear outcomes, clear timelines, what they need to do. Yeah.
All right. And finally, let's move on to this third action of reflecting. So tell me a little bit, you know, give me some tips on how people can reflect on leadership success.
Yeah. So I would say that some tips that I would say, some strategies that some of us can opt for, you know, you can start with having a learning or reflection journal. Physical, online is perfectly fine. I know some of our young generation out there prefer to capture the reflections on Instagram, for example, you know, with a nice photo, a nice caption that allows them to reflect. I think that works fine. The other tip I would say is that when you reflect, you need to remember to ask key questions. And you need to ask deeper. For example, what did you learn from the experience? Why are you feeling the way you're feeling? And if you can do it all over again, would you do it differently? There are plenty of reflection models out there. I won't go that into detail, but they're all available online. And I think the other one, the other tip that we can do to create the platform for our children or employees to reflect is find a good space, good timing, and good method to discuss that experience.
Mm.
So one example is that let's say you have a young child who enjoys the car rides to school with you because that's the alone time with you. And you know, that's the most optimal time to talk about experiences. So if you're a parent, I would definitely recommend that use that time, that golden opportunity, to talk about the recent leadership experience your child has. And that would be the time he's most receptive. You get the most out of him, you hear most of him. And also the key is to listen actively. Your role is not to give recommendations or advice, but it's really to really listen.
Mm.
And the last tip is that maybe this is more for adults and employees at the workplace, for example. Maybe having a one-on-one is very intense. You know, your employees might start to get stressed out. Am I in trouble? You know, why am I having this one-on-one? What you can do is that you can start with having a group reflection activity. It's a bit more casual, more relaxed. And this is where, as a group, you get to hear other people's reflection, that's one. And they also feel that they're safer to share as well. And what it helps to develop is that now your employees or maybe even children will start to have that social awareness. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, I didn't realize that other people felt that way or reflected differently. And it really increases that social awareness that leaders, all good leaders need to have.
Mm. All right. Well, that's about as much time as we have for today's Raise Your Game. Thank you very much, Connie, for speaking to me about how we can create first leadership experiences for other people. You know, and we talked about those three things. It's to observe, practice, and reflect.
Thank you, Christine. It's my pleasure. And if I can close quickly, you know, I really hope that as parents or as managers, we really start to value first leadership experiences that our children or employees will go through. No one is perfect and no one is born a leader. In fact, every leader has good and bad qualities. However, if we can help them in their early stages of leadership development by creating platforms to observe, practice, and reflect, and I really believe that, you know, our children and employees will be able to experience that transformational leadership and grow to become good, effective leaders.
All right. Well, if you have missed any of this conversation, you can get our app on the Apple App Store or Google Play and listen back to the podcast there. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my/podcast, or you can catch us on Spotify as well, where you can also listen to plenty of other insights from Leaderonomics as well. I'm Christine Wong. This has been Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.